The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Tomorrow, a partisan primary in the great state of Wisconsin. So happy partisan primary eve, Dom. How you doing, man?
Good, Crudy. Good to be with you. Get out and vote tomorrow, folks. Rich, working the board. You can join us on the Lions 844-967-2789.
Are you sure? Kind of I'm stumbled sure. through that one.
it's been a few days, man.
Dom, are you looking forward to the big Twitter Spaces event with Trump and Elon Musk tonight? 7 o'clock if you
what
are gonna watch.
No, man. No, I am not looking forward to it. Elon Musk is a journalist, huh? Interesting. That guy can do anything, huh?
Well, when you own the platform, you can interview whoever you want. You know, the EU's already warned them about language that could be construed as anti-Semitic, I believe, told him be careful.
From Elon Musk and Donald Trump? Shocking. Why would you even have to warn a couple of good fellas like that?
Dom, what do you think the craziest assertion Trump will make?
Oh, God.
Tonight?
I mean, I can't possibly, man. The guy, over the weekend, when he made this Truthy Social tweet about the Kamala Harris crowd being AI, like there was nobody there and the whole thing was AI. Well, this in Michigan, you know, she's a cheater. You know, he goes off. I mean, that is just bat guano crazy. That is craziness. Can we just say it? That's crazy. If Joe Biden had stood up and said, well, God, Donald Trump's not getting those crowds, that's AI. Everyone would rightfully be like, dude, what? No, man, we've been to those things. We've been to rallies of Donald Trump. People actually showed up.
It's not like Trump claimed the crowd was smaller than represented. He claimed it was absent.
Yes.
They just
entirely created.
She just gave a speech to an empty airplane hangar, and because they saw a reflection off Air Force Two that apparently was tilted away from the crowd. As you can see, and thousands of social media postings from the 15,000 or so people in attendance, including journalists of all political stripes.
Right.
I bet he goes crazier than that. Him and Elon, he's going to be unrestrained tonight, Tom.
Well, has he ever been restrained? I mean, if this has been Donald Trump restrained, I shudder to think what Donald Trump unrestrained would be. But listen, this is more about Donald Trump. What about the MAGAs? What about you Republicans, the GOP? This is your candidate. Is this what you think? I mean, do you agree with Donald Trump that this is an AI-created issue? I'd really like to know, because at some point, your own credibility is on the line with the person you support. If Joe Biden were to stood up there as the oldest guy running for president ever, now that's Trump, and said, made such a claim, and it goes off on, and not just this. This is, of course, I think the worst example. Donald Trump has had multiple, many, many, many examples of crazy ass things that he says. And you make it like, oh, yeah, that's totally normal. It's totally fine. You believe this?
I don't read all his tweets. You know, busy governing. That's what Republicans used to say, guys like Ron Johnson. Rich, we've actually, and again, what he said this weekend was a social media post, and he often is particularly unrestrained on the Truthy social platform. But here's what he said just last week. This was at a Mar-a-Lago event. Rich went looking for this. This is a similar example. You know, let's hear it. Hear it for yourself.
I had 107,000 people in New Jersey. You didn't report it. I'm so glad you asked. What did she have yesterday? 2,000 people?
That was in Eau Claire.
If I ever had 2,000 people, you'd say my campaign is finished. I have 10 times, 20 times, 30 times the crowd size. And no, they never say the crowd was big. That's why I'm always saying turn around the cameras. I'm so glad you asked that. I think it's so terrible when you say, well, she has 1,500 people, 1,000 people, and they talk about, oh,
he's like a reverse auctioneer.
Let me tell you,
the number goes down every
time. But on crowd size, in history, for any country, nobody's had crowds like I have, and you know that. And when she gets 1,000 people and everybody starts jumping, you know that if I had 1,000 people, people would say, that's the end of his campaign. I have hundreds of thousands of people, the biggest crowd I've ever spoken to. And you've seen Maggie.
Wait.
I was in at the mall. I was at the Washington Monument. I was at
January 6th.
I had crowds. I don't know who's ever had a bigger crowd than I have, but I had it many times. The biggest crowd I've ever spoken before was that day. And I'll tell you, it's very hard to find a picture of that crowd. You see the picture of a small number of people relatively going to the Capitol, but you never see the picture of the crowd. The biggest crowd I've ever spoken, I've spoken to the biggest crowds. Nobody's spoken to crowds bigger than me.
He went on to say Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. He had a bigger crowd on January 6th at the Ellipse. That was Trump's claim from Mar-a-Lago.
You notice he didn't say the word January 6th, though.
That day.
He didn't literally say the word. The day that he invited all the insurrectionist bastards to come down and crap all over the Capitol and stop the peaceful transfer of power. That day, my understanding is maybe 50,000 people there that day. And honestly, man, Donald Trump, it's not like you don't have photographers on the payroll. Well, you didn't snap a selfie with the crowd. Only the media is the only ones that can ever show crowd size. You didn't have someone take a picture of the biggest crowds you ever had. Come on, man. And what is it with the crowd size, man? Hand size? I mean, are we comparing? Is this what it's about? Donald Trump, and you go off on the stupid-ass, narcissistic effort to compare and pull your pants down and show your crowd size? How is that relevant anyway? And then he goes off, Crudy. I got to read the social tweety, man. I can't believe it. Here's what he said. This is what this lunatic said. He put it out there for your consideration. He's telling you, Megas, has anyone noticed that Kamala cheated at the airport? There was nobody at the plane, and she AI'd it and showed a massive crowd of so-called followers, but they didn't exist. This was capitalized. They didn't exist. Will you absorb that, you mega nuts? The guy is saying that it didn't exist. It was totally fabricated. He is so off the ledge that he can't even believe his own eyes. He can't even believe the multiple media sources of the individuals that showed up, the social media posts that they put up. What, everybody AI'd it? Come on, man. They didn't exist. That's what your guy said. He goes on to say, she was turned in by a maintenance worker at the airport when he noticed a fake crowd picture, but there was nobody there. Later confirmed by the reflection of the mirror, like finish on the vice presidential plane. She's a cheater. She had nobody waiting. And the crowd, quote unquote, looked like 10,000 people. Same thing is happening with her fake crowd at her speeches. This is the way the Democrats win elections, by cheating. And they're even worse at the ballot box. She should be disqualified because the creation of fake images is election interference. Anyone who does that will cheat at anything. What? I mean, so much projection, so much narcissism. How do you support that, Republicans? How can you possibly say that's okay? They don't exist? The guy is so upside down and backwards because he has no reaction to going in, what, the third week of Kamala Harris's campaign? And, of course, all the polls, those are all crooked polls now. They were fine when he was leading, but now they're crooked polls. And he can't believe it. He doesn't know what to do. The only way that he can digest it, the only way he can absorb it and comprehend what is happening, because he's such a psychopath, is to say that they didn't exist. No, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. I mean, that's an insanity, people. That's not okay. And if he says that about this, he talks about it, crooked vice presidential candidate. She'll do this. She'll do anything. Well, look who is talking, dude. You put this out there. They didn't exist. Wow.
Now, we've got a whole list of recent crazy statements by the former president. But Dom, in regards to disclaiming the crowds and the enthusiasm of the Democratic base, got a little source piece here over at the Washington Post. AI crowds in unskewed polls. Trump prepares to reject another loss.
Yeah, right.
That's the game at foot here. Philip,
Trump continues to prepare to reject another loss. I mean, he's been preparing for, that's all he does is reject loss, man. He did it. He's still saying that he won 2020. Are we surprised that he's preparing to reject another loss? Sorry, man.
The first person I noticed spreading the idea that images of Vice President Kamala Harris's rally in Michigan had been manipulated was conservative movie maker Dinesh D'Souza. On Saturday evening, D'Souza posted a photo on social media of Harris exiting her plane with a crowd of supporters looking on. Two reflections from the airplane were circled in red, illustrating that despite the crowd, no one was visible in the reflection. "Does this look like a real picture to you?" D'Souza asked. Within hours, similar questions were everywhere on social media, and by Sunday, had popped up in the former President Donald Trump's feed on the Truthy Social. Yeah. Now, you talked about it. She cheated. She's cheating. She AI'd it, right? She's a cheater, he reiterated. That D'Souza was at the leading edge of the argument is not surprising. It was D'Souza, you may recall, who produced a feature-length movie arguing without evidence that the 2020 election had been stolen by mules who collected and submitted ballots on behalf of Joe Biden. Then, as now, D'Souza claims were rooted in a trivial misrepresentation of digital information. There was a crowd in Michigan to meet Harris, as shown below in a photograph taken by the Washington Post photographer. You can also see why the reflection from the plane doesn't show the crowd. It was angled away from the speaking platform. They didn't use it perpendicular. Trump would always pull up Air Force One right behind the stage, right? Air Force Two is parked halfway down the runway. It's not even close to being in the hangar. Hence, no reflection of the crowd on the airplane. It ain't that close to the crowd. But that doesn't mean there wasn't 15,000 people. Hell, I was in Eau Claire the other day when Trump was claiming 2,000. Make it 1,500. Make it 1,000. No, I was there. It was like 15,000. It's a big-ass, energetic crowd for Harris Walls. You're in trouble, Trump. Come back, more devils.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can be a part, talk, or text. Hit us up, 844-967-2789.
Dom, a little over an hour from now, we've got Katrina Shanklin joining the big show. Katrina Shanklin is a Democrat running in the 3rd CD, and the primary is tomorrow. Her against Rebecca Cook. There is another candidate, but we... we'll talk about the newsworthiness of the recent blue-on-blue violence in that 3rd CD, Dom. And whoever wins tomorrow has got my support come Wednesday. So we'll see. But Katrina joins us at 5:30 Central Time. And back, if you'll indulge me, Dom, to the Washington Post. Why is Trump trying to delegitimize Kamala Harris's crowd size? Because, of course, crowd size is a reflection of the energy and the support for this new top of the ticket. And I've been to a couple of these rallies. I was there when she rolled out in West Dallas, and I was there in Eau Claire. And, you know, I didn't get to go to Pennsylvania, Dom, but that looked like a hell of a crowd. And the swing state tour that she and Walls have been on, it's been a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, and big-ass crowds, be it Atlanta, be it Detroit, be it Eau Claire, Wisconsin. They've had big-ass crowds. And I would point out, Donald Trump likes to claim big-ass crowds, right? I have been chasing Donald Trump through this elective cycle. And when he claims he's got 100,000, did they fit in the wedding chapel at the Treasure Island Casino? because he held a political rally in a wedding reception hall at a casino that held like 400 dom. Not 400,000, 400 in the room. Couldn't even get in as press. Hell, they weren't even letting some of the MAGA TikToker media sorts in the room. Overjammed. Because it's a freaking wedding chapel. Trump, 107,000.
Hundreds of thousands. Yeah, hundreds of thousands.
He always claims he's got the biggest crowds. Biggest crowds ever, right? Bigger than MLK. I have a dream speech. Bigger than that, he claims. Back to the Philip Bump reporting at the Washington Post. Why would Trump and his allies spread a false claim about attendance at a rally that was covered by C-SPAN? Right. In part because many elements of Trump's base have embraced rejections of basic reality, like the existence of mules for years. In part, it's confirmation bias, with partisans being more likely to accept false information as true, you know, when it supports their pre-existing beliefs, Dom. But in part, it's because Trump and his allies are already eagerly raising questions about the reliability of measures of Harris's support, and by extension, the reliability of the results in November. That's the real motive here, Dom. Harris is an all-caps cheater, Trump asserts. It is not subtle. And recall that his efforts to reject the 2020 results did not emerge out of the blue in November of that year. Trump began raising questions about the purported insecurity of mail-in ballots soon after it became obvious that the coronavirus pandemic would spur more remote voting. He and his staff amplified all sorts of claims about ballot security, including a bizarre claim in July that a mail truck that caught fire was somehow suspicious. His base was more than prepared when he subsequently challenged the actual election results. And that's the pattern that is again underway, exemplified well beyond this one goofy assertion about the Michigan rally. In reporting its lengthy assessment of Trump's recent campaign stumbles, the New York Times spoke with someone close to Trump who described the former president's framing of Harris's ascent to be her party's nominee. One quick quote down, then I'll put this down and we'll move on. Mr. Trump told one aide, Maggie Haberman, and Jonathan Swan reported that Democrats were trying to steal the election again from him, comparing the reshuffling of the Democratic ticket to when state legislators changed voting rules midway through the 2020 election cycle because of the COVID pandemic. They're trying to steal it from him, Dom.
Just one more paragraph here. Yeah, go down. 844-967-2789. States making it easier for people to vote without risking coronavirus infections in 2020 was not cheating in any way that doesn't assume that ensuring voters can vote is somehow unfair, nor is a political party choosing its own nominee. But it is important to Trump that he keep this escape hatch open. This idea that the election was or will be stolen from him even in the most abstract terms, because it allows him to muster resources to contest his loss or alternatively to retain the loyalty of his base. Philip Bump at the Washington Post, there's more to it regarding the polling, but I would suggest this. This never stopped. This isn't, he started this during the coronavirus pandemic. I remember specifically him talking about the mail-in ballots, and they were very concerned. And this whole thing, it was seed corn. It was laid out. I remember when he said it, it seemed, wow, it's really ahead of the game here, man. Because he knew it, man. He knew what was going to happen. There were people that were not going to want to go out to the polls in the midst of a pandemic. So he got to, do
it. Not his supporters. His supporters didn't believe in the pandemic.
Didn't believe in the pandemic and will believe Donald Trump when he says there was nobody there, in spite of the fact that there were thousands and thousands of people there, C-SPAN individuals, lots of folks. But this effort never stopped. He never acknowledged that he lost the election. He continues to this day to say he won the election. He's continuing this same facade, this same lie. It continues. It was never a wind down. He never gave up on it because he can never lose.
Well, not only that, Dominic, but the Stop the Steal effort, if you recall, was one of the greatest grifts in history. The man raised $250 million in small dollar donations from supporters. The gullible, I would say, because he's supposed to be a billionaire, right? Why does he need your money, broke-ass people? But, you know, setting aside the logic behind the rich guy needs my money to stop the steal, to keep fighting. Only we find out he didn't really use any of that $250 million to stop any stealing or whatever they describe it as. He mostly pocketed that or used it for legal defense funds in a number of cases around the nation, Dom, because Defendant Trump has been a busy man in the courts. Come back with us. We'll enumerate a few more of the recent, would you call them whoppers, Dom? And, of course, we'll make time for your phone calls right here on the greatest radio show ever. That is not a whopper at all. You know it. You believe it. You're listening right now. And you're going to call at 844-967-2789. And don't forget, stick around, Katrina Shanklin, a candidate in the 3rd CD, a fine Democrat. She'll be joining us about an hour from now.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, back to work Monday edition, at least for Dom. Some of us have been doing it the whole time, right, Rich? 844-967-2789. We're getting to the phones and to you, starting with Catherine from Madison. Welcome, Catherine. What do you got for us?
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, guys. Hi. Thanks again for all the political coverage you've been doing. I appreciate it so much. It's hard for me to really follow it. I've just been listening to you and nothing else. It's been a crazy year.
Catherine, but do you know, size, if I can interrupt you just for a second for the sake of the entire audience, I can't even believe 1 week from today, Dom and I will be in Chicago providing the best damn DNC coverage ever. We're going to do our show 4 to 6, a little bit shorter than we normally do. And then we're going to provide bell-to-bell coverage all night long. Chicago, Minneapolis, and I believe Civic Media is going to pick our coverage up as well. So, you know, we're going to take you with, Catherine.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's fantastic. But I was calling about this crowd size issue, and it's so silly, the whole thing. I mean, everybody... But what I was going to say is the crowd size is noticeable, you know, but it's not the main thing. Look at what happened with us when we had all these big turnouts and everything during the Wisconsin uprising, and we had energized and a lot of people, and we still just, you know, lost the election. So all that ever counts is vote, you know, who votes, the vote size.
Yeah.
Well, certainly votes count, but Catherine, the difference is, you know, the turnout, the support here in the great state of Wisconsin, that uprising that happened about a block away from where I'm sitting right now, Catherine, and it spilled all the way down State Street many days. Yes, Scott Walker won the recall, or at least held his seat. But if you recall, Catherine, it's still about candidates. And unfortunately, we ran the same candidate against him twice, right? Well, he beat Tom Barrett. And from the perspective of a guy like Dominic, who actually had voted for Tom Barrett, there was no proven illegality. There were no even charges against the guy. All we didn't like were his policies. So a lot of guys like Dom, I think, were pragmatically saying, I don't think he deserves to be recalled for just instituting policy choices. So, Catherine, the energy behind that recall movement, I mean, there were over 900,000 signatures. That was a massive movement of the people. I don't want to diminish that in any way, shape, or form. I can tell you I've seen some enormous Barack Obama crowds, and I've seen some big crowds for Donald Trump. Probably 2 years ago in Des Moines, Iowa, one of the bigger political crowds I've ever seen. For Donald Trump, he certainly draws big crowds. But Catherine, when Joe Biden did events, they would do closed room 300 people events. There was never overflow on the streets. There was never thousands of people waiting outside to get in. So this is a differing attitude than the top of the ticket than the campaigns felt like it's had for the last 4 years. I mean, hell, there was barely a campaign in 2020. What did Trump accuse Joe Biden of doing? Hiding in the basement. Well, Kamala and Tim Walz are not hiding in the basement. They are filling big arenas, and that is a show of the energy, and Trump doesn't know what to do about it. He's flummoxed. He's flailing out there complaining about her crowd size, Catherine.
Well, if you're whining, you're losing. Catherine, it's not just complaining. He's claiming they did not exist. I mean, this is what he's saying. That never happened, according to Donald Trump. What's your take on that?
Well, we're learning a lot about narcissism, aren't we? I mean, because when a narcissist is backed up against the wall, they deny the truth and they walk away. But I was going to say that no one can deny the energy of Kamala's crowd. I mean, and the happiness and the joy, and it's just this explosion. Yeah. So, I mean, even if there was 200 people there, you know, it would be, oh God, these people are really happy, you know. They're really excited.
No, Catherine, 200 people do not carry the emotion of 5,000 or 15,000. I mean, it is a different experience. Yeah. And Catherine, I've been to lots and lots of political rallies. This energy at these Kamala rallies, it feels like Obama days. Like, not 2012 Obama, but like 2008 Obama. It feels like a hopeful energy that the Democratic Party hasn't had in a long time.
It feels like the Women's March, too. Big and everybody on the same page and really excited. And that was, we were just trying to hold each other up. We knew we were in trouble and we were just trying to back each other up. But this is, we're not trying to back each other up. We're trying to make a change now. And it's the same energy. And you're right. A big crowd is a big different thing. But Trump is getting caught up on these numbers thing, which is just, I mean, George McGovern said that he actually thought he was going to win. He lost almost every state in the union except his own, I believe. And because he said everywhere I went, everybody was yelling for me. They all liked me. You know, there were signs and all that. So, you know, I mean, the crowd size and the energy is important. It really is. And she's got it. I haven't seen anything like this for a long time. I'm really excited. But I do think we can't just back up and say this is going to work. You know, we can just sit down now and it's all over.
No, Catherine, I absolutely agree. But I would also point out the crowd size is important because the Democratic Party is working that crowd and signing up volunteers. And they're assembling people they can send text messages to and encourage them to vote. You know, even if you attend a Kamala rally just as a curious bystander, you don't leave untouched by the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party is winning the ground war, certainly here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, Ben Wickler and the troops here, that's something we should feel great about. And that energy, those crowds, stuff like that, that motivates the volunteers. People want to go out and be on the winning team. People want to be joyous warriors for Kamala Harris. It was a different feeling. The feeling I have right now is that we can win, Dom.
And Donald Trump is losing his freaking mind about it. And he's going so far as to do his truthy socials and telling you, telling his followers, trying to convince himself that the people just didn't exist. They didn't show up. There was nobody there. I cannot get away from this. Are you kidding me? 844-967-2789. Dick from Madtown. You're up. Welcome, Dick. What do you got?
Hey, Dick.
Well, you know, is it me or have you noticed that ever since the trial this spring that ended with 34 counts, that's when the size thing really started bothering him after Stormy Daniels took the stand. But anyway.
She never quite testified to that, although there were some salacious details.
Well, she alluded to it a little bit.
But Dick,
another thing that's just.
Do you recall when he would show up for court, though? And they would actually, he was complaining about the lack of supporters at the courthouse. And they would shoot video from like angles and stuff. Again, it's projection. Trump has done this where he's literally waving to no one so they can get the angle on him and then superimpose a crowd later.
Oh, real quickly, his news conference last week too. I watched it as long as I could stand it. And that was maybe 15 minutes. And I never, you could not hear the audio of the question, so you didn't even know what he was answering to. I question whether there were any reporters there myself. But and you know how I'm seeing this campaign, to be honest with you? I've been to the Indy 500 about seven or eight times, and this is like a driver pulling into pit row and there are nobody there to change the tires or put gas in or anything. He just pulls in and that's the end of it. They're running out of everything here. But I seriously, that news conference, when have anybody showed up and said, I was at that? I asked these questions. And what is it like Trump to go, oh, you please, thank you, and point to somebody from the press? I think the whole thing was fake.
Oh, come on.
Come on, Dick. Dick says two can play at this game. 844-967-2789, I believe it's. Is it Carly or Carly?
Let me just jump in briefly. There's also, further problems with this. It's not just that Donald Trump lies and denies reality and is a narcissist psychopath. It's that he gets his followers to believe him. When something comes out, when the news breaks that, oh, my campaign was hacked and they released a bunch of stuff on J.D. Vance. My first question, and seemingly it might be true, is true. I don't know. But I don't believe anything coming out of that campaign. I mean, how can you possibly, when the head of the mega party goes out there and tweets out his Truthy Social talking about Kamala cheating, these crowds didn't exist, it's all a big hoax, it's all AI. I mean, it goes to the credibility. So when he comes out the next time and says, hey, our campaign was hacked by Iran. Was it? Or was there somebody just, working there and sliding documents to Politico and what the Washington Post? It makes me question everything about the megas, about Donald Trump, about anything that comes out of that campaign, because he is a non-stop liar and be lying. In his mind, perhaps it's reality. So maybe it's his truth. If you believe it, it's not a lie.
844-967-2789. Carly from Madison, welcome. Carly, you're up.
Hello, Carly.
Hi. I always listen to your program, and I really enjoy it. But I want to make two comments. Sure. One, I met Roberta Cook from 3rd District. She is the ideal person for Wisconsin and District 3. Number two.
All right. Yes.
If Trump is worried about the crowd, we have a major problem. That is, he is worried that he's going to lose. And Kevin McCarthy came on CNN and said today he should stop worrying about that and worry about the down tickets, because he's going to bring down the down tickets too. That's what he was trying to get at it. So please expand on these. Thank you.
Thank you for listening, Carly. What I would say is Donald Trump doesn't really have coattails. You would think he would, but he doesn't. He doesn't really get anybody else elected. And look at his electoral record. I mean, he won 16 by threading the needle of the Electoral College. He won these blue wall states, state of Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. What has he won since then? The midterms were disastrous in 2018 for the red team. 2020, he lost, although we know he claims it was rigged and he tried to push a coup, an insurrection. Hell, he would have had his own vice president hung. 2022 was supposed to be a red wave, right? A pushback against the party in power. That's historically what happens. But Donald Trump's influence on the election and his endorsement of the most unelectable candidates made 2022 a very blunted year for the Republicans. They barely won a House majority. They have not figured out how to govern with that modest House majority. Just ask Kevin McCarthy, right? So, I would say, if anything, the coattails are with the Democrats. I think the Democrats have stronger candidates, especially in the congressional races and the senatorial races that are being contested. Now, there's more Democrats on the ballot. Tammy Baldwin, that would be a huge pickup for the Republicans. But it ain't going to happen. She is polling better than Harris. She is polling way better than Joe Biden was. So I think there are a number of holds we need to make to hold on to the U.S. Senate. John Tester out there in Montana, that would be a big hold. He's in a red state, and he's a blue senator. Joe Manchin, the state of West Virginia, that may be lost to us. I think we've got a much better chance with Ruben Gallego in Arizona against Catherine Lake. I saw polling last week. He's up by 11 on Lake. Carrie Lake, right? My bad. Carrie Lake.
Yeah.
In the crazy lady in Arizona. So the Trump-endorsed candidates really, really don't do so well. And he pushes them farther to the right. You want to be endorsed by Trump, you better pucker up and kiss some ass.
I mean, what's going on here up in Green Bay? All these Republicans running for that seat, that primary. They're all, Trump, Trump, we're Trumpy. We love Trump, 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 Trump. From a state perspective, if Donald Trump loses this election, he's gonna take the entire, at least the state. I don't know about the congressional ones, but those Trumpsters, they're gonna really get crushed if that trend continues.
From your lips to God's ears, if you believe in such things. Come back. More Devil's Advocates, more of your phone calls, more of Dom and Crute and you and Rich lightly screening.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to The Devil's Advocates radio show. We're going to go back to the lines, but you can also text at the same number at 844-967-2789.
Why are you encouraging the texting? You don't read them.
That's because
you're just making more work for me. Yeah. I read your text because I love you. Yeah. Dom's just in lust with you.
I just want your vote. Can I tell you, I just want you to call 844-967-2789.
Scott from Whitewater. Welcome, Scott. What do you got for us?
Hello, Scott.
Good evening, gentlemen. If I was messaging for Harris, I would refer to Trump. He always likes to give nicknames. I would call him Donald. Like to emphasize Democrats.
Donald.
Yeah. Donald. And then even throw the weird in, Donald Weird Trump. And that's what I'd refer to him as all the time.
But Scott, what about sneaking a felon in there? He is a convicted felon. I like that moniker for him. Felon Trump.
Adjudicated rapist? I mean, there's so many descriptors we have for him, Scott. It'd be like, I don't know, like a Game of Thrones name.
But we can call him all that stuff. But like, you know, Harris and Walz, they got to be they can't throw that stuff out there like, you know.
Scott, what do you think?
Can, like we can.
When Walz was rolled out as the vice presidential nominee on behalf of the Democratic Party in Philadelphia, and he's talking about, I can't wait to debate J.D. Vance if I can get him up off the couch. what do you think of taking that sort of lowbrow line of attack? And then he said, you see what I did there? And I did see what he did there.
That's inside stuff. You know, you kind of had to be following things pretty close to catch that. And people looked it all up. And, you know, the sad thing is, I mean, Trump set the bar, right? So whatever Tim Walz did, he didn't cheat on his wife with a porn star. He didn't defraud people with his fake university. He didn't call people names. You know, so whatever, I mean, no one's going to be as bad as Donald Trump. You know, Tim Walz misspoke about an M16 when Trump told 27,000 lies. You know, you just.
Right. It's not even close, is it, Scott? It's not even in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, you know, I used to do the same thing to my mom. My older sister, she barely graduated high school with D's and F's and C's. And I had like a C+ going. I'm like, hey, don't bust my chops. You know, I'm doing better than older sister there.
Don't compare me to the Almighty. Compare me to the alternative.
Oh, hey, Scott, thanks for the call. And you're absolutely right. I mean, Donald Trump's really good at bringing people down. And I really, you know, I don't think that you can be the happy warrior and engaged in the joy and try to go that route and also be, you know, name calling. I think a little hint about the couch, you know, like you say, if you know, you know. If you don't know, you just get up off the couch and debate. That's fair game. But I like the positive attitude. I like the joy. I like you know, the love in the air, man. That's what we've been missing. And I know, you know, Trump says, oh, we got a lot of love for these crowds, but man, all he does is rip on people. And that's not fun. And it's really, it's like the Andrew Dice Clay Act is getting really, really old.
Hickory dickory dock.
You know what I mean?
Do you know that Harris has changed the tone of the Democratic campaign? Because if you'll recall, Joe Biden talked a lot about the existential threat that he thought Donald Trump was. But Harris is taking a different tact. I mean, it was a pretty dark campaign. It was a pretty pessimistic campaign. I mean, what's Trump saying? The American dream is dead.
Is dead. Right.
And Joe Biden's attitude was, if you elect that guy, America, democracy is dead. Right? And yeah, this is a differing attitude. Like right. This joy is something that Harris brought to the campaign. This is her handiwork. She made a conscious effort to change the tone of the campaign. And I would say it's definitely working. 844-967-2789. I've been happier every day if she's been the top of the ticket, Dom. Oh, Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, just you said the joy in the hearts. It just kind of reminded me, wasn't that what Granny sang on the Beverly Hillbillies? That joy, 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 joy way down in my heart. That maybe the
yeah, but she was drinking moonshine, Mark.
A lot of joy.
She was hanging out with Derek Van Orden and day drinking quite a bit.
Anything can help. I mean, anything we can do to bring down Donald Trump is what we need to do, because the man is, as Dom has said, the guy is a liar. I mean, his contact with the truth is so separated now. It's like you know, that the Earth compared to the outer planets as far as
you know, what planet are we on, man? Because
what planet? The planet doesn't even exist. Pluto's no longer a planet. I mean, that some planetoid
big planet.
Cloud, I guess is where Trump is.
Appreciate it. Want to sneak one more caller in this hour. Charles Barman, candidate for the U.S. Senate on the ballot tomorrow. Charles, I can give you like 1 minute to make your pitch.
That's good.
Hey, Charles.
Thank you very much for letting me be on. No shortage of D's and F's in my career background when I was in high school. So my big deal is that I don't care for the guy that's running on the Republican ticket. I ran against him. There's another candidate besides me that's for tomorrow. If you could, the guy from California is in the first spot. I'm in the second spot. And then Rajani's in the third spot. My big thing is that I want to eventually win. And nothing bad to say about Tammy Baldwin. She's my best friend right now, because she has ran all the negative ads against this guy and exposed him for what he is. And he's not a friend to the farmers. He's not a friend to people that are a little bit overweight. And he's not a friend to people that are in a nursing home and getting ready to die. And people that are in a nursing home getting ready to die, they're not voting for themselves. They're voting for their grandchildren. And all I want to do is spank this guy. And so I'm glad you gave me a chance to get on your radio show.
Charles Barman for U.S. Senate. He's a Republican running against Eric Hudvey. Thank you, sir. May I have another?